The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. As we saw in the last sermon, Nehemiah and Ezra gathered the people of the Lord together for a public worship service after the walls had been rebuilt. And the people listened to the word that was read and explained and were obedient to it. Today, we continue looking at how the people of God got back to the book and were open to it and learned from it. From their example, we will see how we ought to get back to the Bible in our doctrine and practice in order to worship God in the right way.
Oh, hold thou thy cross. Tonight, we want to go back to the book of Nehemiah. We had gotten a little over halfway through the eighth chapter, and we had been speaking about, in the eighth chapter, the theme of that chapter is getting back to the book, getting back to the Word of God. Last time, we saw that Ezra, who was a contemporary of Nehemiah, put the Word of God first in both their private lives, but also in their public lives. You know, it's important that we do that. It's important that we remember that we're not just Christians on Sunday. You know, we're supposed to be representatives of the kingdom of God every day of the week. And there's a psalm over in the book of Psalms, the 33rd chapter and the 12th verse. The psalmist makes the statement, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And, of course, he says, "And the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Well, that's his people. That's his chosen people. That in that day, certainly they were talking primarily about Israel. But beloved, aren't we the chosen people of God? And we ought to show forth that fact that we are children of God in everything that we do. So when we go back to our jobs, when we go into our social circles, when we go into any situation, we ought to be carrying that with us. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we're, you know, shouting the gospel with words through a megaphone everywhere we go. I think it was Dwight L. Moody that said we should preach the gospel always and occasionally use words. That's a pretty good way to remember that, isn't it? That we should be living the fact that we're different. You know, we're not different just to be different. We're different because God's made us different. He's blessed us with something that we didn't get ourselves. So these men went back to the Word of God, and the people went back to the Word of God and rejoiced in the Word of God. And they spent this time, as you recall, listening to Ezra preach. And if you remember in verse 8, it said, Ezra and the other priests read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Now, you know, that's really what we're Brother Buddy and I and other preachers are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be reading in the book of the Word of God, and we're supposed to be trying to give the sense and causing the people to understand the reading. I know we can't change someone from a goat into a sheep. We can't make someone get born again. And that's not the purpose here either. You notice the preaching in that day was not to try to get people, make people children of God. It was to teach children of God who are all God had already made his children, you see. So they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and caused the people to understand the reading. Now, today, this evening, we're going to see more of what happens when you get back to the Word, when you get back to the Bible. And we're going to learn about how sometimes when we get back to the Word of God, it means we start doing things differently than we've ever done them. You know, tradition's a good thing if it's not inconsistent with the Word of God. You know, we do things a certain way every Sunday here. And frankly, occasionally, being a man, I forget and I do something differently than I've done it before. And when I do that, it almost throws me off, Brother Buddy, when I don't do it just in the same old habitual way. But when we get married to a tradition that's not in the Scripture, then we have problems. So we're going to see that as we get back to the Word here. So let's look in Nehemiah chapter 8, and we're going to begin reading in verse 13. "And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches, and pine branches, and myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees, to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them, and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun, that's Joshua as we know him, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. Getting back to the book, notice what they did. They've already gotten back to the Word of God. They've already been rejoicing in it, as we read earlier and last time we were here. But now, notice what's happening as they are taught from the Word of God. The people were open to the Word. They not only opened the Word of God, they were open to the Word of God. And that's important because, you know, everybody likes to hear something that makes them feel good, right? You know, I like to be told what a great guy I am. You know, very few people tell me that, but I like to be told what a great guy I am. And I like to be bragged on, right? But I don't know if you've noticed, when you go to the Word of God, there's not much bragging on men and mankind from the Word of God. Because, quite frankly, men, we're told, are fallen creatures. We fell in Adam. We have a depraved nature. By nature, we are nothing and less than nothing. And so we're not hearing the message that is assuaging our feelings if we're looking for something to make us feel good. Now, and I mean in a very shallow sense. Now let me be clear. It makes me feel very good when I hear what a worthless worm of the earth I am, and yet God sent his son to die for me. That's the best news of all, and I feel the best about that of any message you could tell me. But I like to be affirmed in what I'm doing. You know, if I'm out there cheating on my taxes, I like for somebody to tell me that's okay. If I'm kind of clocking in early and clocking in late and clocking out early, but getting somebody to cover for me, you know, I like to be told that's not that big a deal. If I'm telling, you know, I'm telling a lie every once in a while, I like for somebody to say, well, it's just a little white lie. It's okay. Don't worry about it. But see, that's not me being open to the Word of God. I may open the Word of God where it says, thou shalt not steal, but I'm not open to the Word of God when it tells me that. I want to just keep doing what I've been doing in the past, you see. But they were open to the Word of God. Now notice, first of all, they came back for more. And that's a big deal. They came back for more. It says on the second day they were gathered together, okay? Now you remember in verse 3? You remember back in verse 3 what it said in verse 3? It says when they first gathered together on that first day, Ezra read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. They weren't there for a little 20-minute sermonette. They weren't there for, a little play and a little something to make you stand up to break up the monotony and something entertaining over here, maybe a group of singers over there, and they weren't there for just a little sound bite. They were there for hours. They were there for a long time. He read there in the book of the law from morning until midday. Some people wouldn't come back after a long meeting like that, would they? A lot of people might not show up. They say, you mean you meet in, we have that experience here, don't we? We have, a lot of times we'll have a Friday night service in our annual meeting. Then we'll have a Saturday morning service. And then after lunch, we'll have another service. I've been to services where they had 3 preachers on Thursday night, 3 preachers on Friday morning, 3 Friday afternoon, 3 Friday night, 3 Saturday morning, 3 Saturday afternoon, and 3 Saturday night. And if you wanted to come back for Sunday morning, they'd have at least 2, And I've known people that sat through the whole thing. Now listen, I understand that's kind of extreme. I get it. We're not, probably shouldn't do that every Sunday, but these people were devoted. They wanted to hear it. And I've been in meetings like that, Brother Mackey, where there were people that just wanted to keep coming back for more and more. And these people came back for more and more. But the point is that these people kept coming back for more. And I realize we should always be cognizant from the pulpit of the situation. Read the room, as they say. We don't go on and on and on, especially if we don't have the blessing of the Spirit. I have been up here before where I felt the Spirit maybe not so strongly as I have at other times, and I felt like it was time to cut it short. But Brother Buddy, I've been in meetings. There's a sermon I heard many, many years ago, even before I came to the Primitive Baptist, but I was hearing the truth preached and the other people that I was with. And this particular preacher preached for over an hour on a topic that I'd never heard before. And when he stopped, when he quit, I couldn't believe it had been that long. I thought it had been about 15 minutes. You've probably been in those meetings before where somebody preaches a long sermon time-wise, but it feels like just a few minutes. Now, it's not always that way. Like I said, we need to be careful and cognizant from the pulpit about how long we preach. But these people came back for more, you know. I'm not going to turn there, but turn over to Acts 20 sometime, begin about verse 7. You're going to read the account of Paul. Paul preached for some people over there until midnight. And he preached so long that a young man named Eutychus fell out of the rafters. He was sitting up there and he passed out and fell down. And actually, according to the scriptures I read it, he died. And Paul was able to miraculously bring him back to life. So I'm gonna try not to preach till some of y'all fall out. I promise that tonight. So, but you know, most of us, aren't we grumbling if we're not out by lunchtime or we're not out in 20 or 30 minutes in some cases? But they came back for more and they hungered for understanding. Look at verse 13 again. It said there that they came back to hear Ezra the scribe to understand the words of the law. That's what they wanted. They weren't just going through the motions. They weren't just checking off the boxes. They were there to learn more and more about their great God who was their great Savior. You know, we read about that in the New Testament over in 1 Thessalonians. Listen to what Paul says in bragging on them. He's giving them encouragement and bragging on these Thessalonians over there. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2, he said, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God." Now, I'm going to stop there just for a second because that's kind of an interesting statement, isn't it? That he says, "I know you were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. I know your election of God." Now, how did he know that? Well, here's how he knew that. He knew that. Verse 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." See, so what he's saying here is this. He's saying, "I can tell that you have a heart for the Lord." Now, look, I realize in some sense we can never tell who really is a child of God and who isn't. I get that. I understand that. But I can see some evidences. I can see evidences from the pulpit. I see evidences when we get together. I believe you all are children of God. You know why? Because you're not just sitting there going through the motions. You're listening. You're interested. He said the gospel didn't just come unto you in word. It wasn't like a dry seminary class for you. It came to you in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And one of the ways he knew that it came to them in that way is they became followers of Paul. Not followers of Paul as in a sect, but followers of Paul as he followed Christ, you see. And they had received that word in much affliction, but with joy of the Holy Ghost. They like these people back over here in Ezra and Nehemiah's day, they hungered for understanding. They hungered for understanding. And then, notice in verses 14 and 15, they learned something. Surprise, surprise. You open the Word of God and you learn something. You come to church and you learn something. That's quite a shock, isn't it? Well, I'm sorry to say it might actually be in the religious world today. A shock to come to church and learn something about the Word of God. You may learn something. I've been on this Facebook page or subscribe to this page where I won't even go into the details. It's so blasphemous, but where it's showing preachers, so-called preachers, who are promoting alternative lifestyles from the Word of God, supposedly. They're preaching it out of the Word of God, and I like to say it sure is way out of the Word of God. You're not learning anything. You're learning something, but it's not from the Word of God, okay? But notice what they learned. It said they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths. in the feast of the seventh month. Now, this is the Feast of the Tabernacles, okay? This Feast of the Tabernacles, according to the law, was to occur after the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was to occur on the 10th day of the month. And then on the fifth, from the 15th to the 21st day of the month was the Feast of Tabernacles. Day of Atonement was the high holy day of the Jewish calendar. That was the day that they went in to sacrifice that lamb on the altar in the Holy of Holies, where the priest would go in, high priest would go, only the high priest would go in once a year, that one day on the Day of Atonement, showing forth what Christ would do once for all, you see. And then 5 days later, on the 15th of the month, they were to observe the Feast of the Tabernacles. Now, according to the law, and you can turn, I'm not going to turn and read it because you can do that yourself, but back over in Leviticus chapter 23, beginning in verse 34, and looking, I think it goes down to verse 43, it tells you about the Feast of the Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. And according to the law, the Jews during this time were supposed to live in booths made of branches. Usually they were built on the flat roofs of their houses. They would take these booths, these branches, and they would bring them. And you see what it said, they should dwell in booths. Verse 15, it said they were to go forth into the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. It's written there in the law. And the reason for this was to remind them of the 40 years that they'd spent in the wilderness. Now, I am going to read to you about that in verse 43 of Leviticus chapter 23. In Leviticus 23, this is what it says about the purpose of this Feast of Booths. He says that your generation, verse 42, we'll start in verse 42. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now the point is that the dwelling in these booths, first of all, was to remind them of the 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness and how the Lord took care of them. That was a judgment from God. That was the chastening of God making them do that. But even in the midst of his chastening, in that 40 years, he took care of them. And this, the idea is the Feast of Booths is to remind them that there was a time they didn't have what they have today. But it was also a time to celebrate the harvest blessings that God had given them from his hand. And Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 13 says it this way, thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within the gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. I like that dual purpose of the Feast of Tabernacles. Because if you think about it, doesn't it remind us of how God deals with us today? Now, we're not being punished in the sense, or chastened in the sense that the nation of Israel was for refusing to go into the promised land, but we're dwelling in the wilderness, aren't we? We're struggling out here.
We're going to pause the message here for now, but we want you to join us again tomorrow where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. And may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.